Welcome back to the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. I'm Radical Russ with CannabisRadio.com. Joining us at the desk here, we have Christian and Joseph from the Arizona Industrial Hemp Initiative. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. So this may come as a surprise to people. Arizona doesn't have industrial hemp already?
I know, right? It's definitely a surprise. Right now, at this current moment, there's not any kind of legalization for industrial hemp farming. There's no regulation, and that's kind of what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring some kind of a program here, create an industry here in Arizona and also the Southwest. So
hemp currently is treated just like marijuana.
It's under
your harsh Arizona laws.
Yes, it's classified as a class one.
So, class one substance.
Yep, substance. So it's making it very difficult for us to get it into a level of an industry here in the United States, but with Colorado and Kentucky starting to lead the way and with their programs they've created in their state, we're starting to see a huge change.
Starting to defeat the stigma, ultimately.
I have to give a shout out to my home state of Oregon.
Nice.
We're doing some hemp there too.
Yes, they're doing great stuff.
Yeah, 13 hemp licensees. And now what's interesting is the big fight happening in Oregon is the Southern Oregon cannabis growers who are fearing industrial hemp crops cross-pollinating. Are we to that level yet in Arizona yet? Or is anyone even is that on the radar yet?
It is on the radar. We actually submitted the initiative, and then we had to resubmit it because of that reason.
Okay.
We saw an opportunity to change due to what was happening in Oregon.
Yeah.
So we saw that whole, I guess you want to call it like a feud or beef between marijuana grow operations.
Good.
Yeah. And hemp grow operations. There was definitely some kind of a beef and a problem going on there. So we saw the opportunity to resubmit the initiative, to put language in the initiative that would create a buffer, buffer zone, to separate the grow operations.
How far? Buffer?
We're talking about outdoor grow operations about 10 miles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's been stated by Andrea Herman. She's a representative for the hemp industry associations out in Canada, that 10 miles is enough for outdoor grow operations.
Yeah.
For indoor grow operations, we say about 2 miles.
Yeah.
2 miles is good enough. As long as the marijuana grow operation has the right equipment to protect from the cross-pollination.
Yeah, filtration.
Filtration and that. We don't see it's a big problem with the indoor.
Okay. So, I was here in Arizona in August. It was 115 degrees. What's the viability of growing massive industrial hemp crops outdoors with such high temperatures out here?
Right. Joe?
I would say if we could grow cotton out here in Arizona, I feel like industrial hemp would have a good chance out here. We're growing cotton in Arizona during the intense summer months, which is kind of the controversy of growing cannabis in the Southwest. We are growing cotton during those intense summer months, and we're using intense amounts of water to produce that cotton.
Right.
And cotton is a demanding plant. Industrial hemp isn't as demanding. So if in the Southwest, where the cotton belt lies in the Southwest states, if we could grow cotton in those intense summer environments, then I feel like we could definitely grow industrial cannabis in Arizona during those summer months.
So what's the, I mean, you're putting an initiative out for this, so obviously your legislature doesn't want to move on this. What's their pushback on hemp?
I mean, hemp, I don't know why they haven't already started some kind of legislation. They put some kind of language and bill together. It was SB 1122.
Okay.
SB 1122, I believe in 2012, and they included the marijuana language and hemp language on the same bill, and then they had to change it. They didn't vote it in. It didn't get passed through the House and the Senate, but we feel that with the initiative, not having to go through legislators and have it represented by the people, a citizens initiative, that we can actually make it a realistic, make it real here in Arizona. So that's kind of what we're doing. Back to like the cotton, I don't think too many people know. There's over 200,000 acres of cotton here in Arizona.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. 380,000 gallons for 1 acre of cotton.
Jeez.
It's about 5 households here in Arizona to sustain 5 households.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can really make the difference by just implementing another crop that doesn't require so much water.
Yeah, and I have also seen some statistics on the amount of pesticide it requires. Any ideas on what that level is? Or
I mean, I don't know the number of pesticides that are used for cotton. I can say it's a handful of pesticides.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they do so much damage to the land,
Water supply, water tables, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you know, we've seen California fighting off a massive drought.
Exactly.
Similar here in Arizona?
I mean, we're not at the drought stage. Okay. They're saying Lake Mead, they're at a shortage right now of water. A lot of people don't know that we do rely on the Colorado River. Yeah. Seven states feed off of the Colorado River. Wyoming, Utah, Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, Nevada, and California. And it all goes through all these states. Like I said, a high amount, 70% of the water we get from Colorado River is for agricultural uses. So now we're starting to talk into an agricultural standpoint where we can make a huge difference in Arizona, not just for the farmers, but for the people of Arizona, for the future of Arizona, to help conserve our precious resource which is water.
Yeah.
It's for us, it's more valuable than gold.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. Otherwise, you're baking in the desert. We're speaking with Christian and Joseph. They're working on the Arizona Industrial Hemp Initiative. What's the political status of this as far as number of signatures and all that stuff?
Well, we're about to hit 5,000 signatures. So,
So this is brand new then?
Yes. Okay. It's very, very, very new. We're, I would say, in the infancy stage.
Okay.
We really want to take the opportunity with this conference, this expo, to kind of initiate the communication and the connected efforts that we're going to need from investors and people that are out of state as well.
Yeah.
So as far as the political, where we're at right now, it's really, really, really starting to begin. But we feel that we can take it to the next level if people really want to come into the state and develop an industry and start making a difference next year and the years coming. So.
And that's one of the things for a hemp initiative. I mean, when it comes to the medical marijuana, when it comes to the recreational cannabis, everybody's throwing money at it. Man, they can't throw enough dollars at it fast enough. With hemp, is this happening? Is it tougher to convince them that this is a viable, you know, a big opportunity for investment?
Yeah, I'll be really quick with it. I'll let Joe talk. But just to put it in perspective, Manitoba Harvest out in Canada, they sold their business to a U.S. company for $130 million. This year.
Okay.
Kentucky said last week that they're going to move over from producing tobacco as their number one crop to now industrial hemp.
Wow.
So they're like thinking about in the hundreds and thousands of acres of mass production of industrial hemp because they are starting to see buyers like BMW who want to buy the raw material for like composites and doors. We're starting to see those buyers that are actually starting to invest in the material to produce thousands of products. So hemp plastics, rubbers, material for construction like hempcrete, hemp fuel, hemp foods, hemp clothing. I mean, we can go forever.
Yeah.
But it's so amazing. And yes, the industry is starting to take off. There's over 100 farms in Colorado. And like I said, Kentucky's is at the point where they're starting to lead the whole industry.
Right. Joseph?
Yeah, just to add really briefly, I feel like it is a little bit harder to get the funding for industrial hemp because it's more of a complex investment rather than just medical marijuana. Granted, you get all the licensing, etc. You grow your medical marijuana, you trim it, you harvest it, you cure it, and then in about 4 or 5 months later down the road, you get your cash out. Industrial hemp, it's a little more complex. It's going to be more than just growing the industrial hemp, curing it. It's going to be more down the lines of who's going to process it, what are we going to process it into. So it's actually painting the picture for these people who can potentially be key players in pushing this to a big scale, a statewide level scale, nationwide. And I feel like painting the picture, showing them what the possible options are, whether it may be composites for BMW or it's sustainable clothing, etc. Just showing them what it can be. That's why I feel like the funding is a little bit lacking because it's not instant. There's a little bit more to it, but ultimately it's going to be worth the while and it's going to be worth the extra dollar.
Like I said, though, with Kentucky actually stepping up and being the leader in the whole movement and wanting to produce the mass production of hemp, it speaks volumes to where the industry is actually going.
Yeah.
So if we can create a mecca here in the Southwest, where we, like I said, we demand so much on our agricultural crops like alfalfa, hay, and cotton, I believe that we can start really making a difference, not just for the industry, but like I said, for our actual environment and the whole Southwest depending on that Colorado River. Mm. So for us, for a standpoint, we think about it in the industry standpoint. We believe that it's a little bit more complex than the marijuana industry, and as far as where the marijuana industry is at right now and where the industrial hemp industry is at right now. It's really in the infancy stage as well, and it's starting to explode. So within a couple of years, we see more states going into hemp regulation, more programs being established, and a lot more hemp growing. So
that's good news. We're speaking with Christian and Joseph from the Arizona Industrial Hemp Initiative. If people want to donate, sign up, volunteer, how do they get in touch with you?
Our website is howarizona.org, howarizona.org. So they can go on there. There's a link for the initiative that they want to read the text of the initiative. There's also a link for people that want to register to vote. So if they are not registered to vote, they can go on our website. They can also register and then also find out where they can locate the initiative, where we'll be at in the up and coming months, all the events we'll be at. So if they want to volunteer, anybody wants to get involved, that's how they can get a hold of us, howarizona.org.
All right, howarizona.org. Does how stand for something?
Hemp Our World.
Hemp Our World. Okay, so yeah. howarizona.org. Christian and Joseph, hardworking activists trying to get industrial hemp, which it makes no sense why it was ever banned, and we've got to get this re-legalized as soon as possible.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
Gentlemen, for
Thank
joining us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
Thank you.
Good work with what you're doing. That's our coverage of the High Times. See, I knew I wouldn't make it out 2 days without doing it. There it is. At the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo, we've got another interview coming up here very soon, and we'll be wrapping things up here from Phoenix. Thank you for joining us on CannabisRadio.com.